plan available in your area. Currently, we represent 9 organizations which offer 83 products in your area. Please contact Medicare.gov, 1-800-MEDICARE, or your local state health insurance program to get information on all of your options.
This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by The Floor King and KeepingMedicareSimple.com.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
This is Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
Okay, hour number 3 is set to begin. It is 7 minutes after 11 o'clock. Thank you so much for being with us. It is a Thursday, the 29th morning and final morning of the second month of the year of our Lord, 2024. Thanks again to the great Dennis Prager. And if you missed the website moments ago, I'll tell you again, go to MedinaGOP.org, MedinaGOP.org, and purchase your tickets, VIP or general, to see Dennis Prager and to listen to Dennis Prager on Saturday. So it is literally the day after tomorrow, Saturday at the Galaxy in Wadsworth. Precious few tickets remaining, as you can imagine, so you're going to have to jump on those now if you are able to get them at all. Go to MedinaGOP.org and get your tickets for the Lincoln Day Dinner. I'm very much looking forward to being a part of that. And I also know that our guest now, who is in our studio, is going to be there as well. I know this because I know who he's sitting with. And I'm talking about Pastor Jeff Toring, the pastor at Liberty Valley Church in Northfield. Pastor Jeff is a regular at so many of these wonderful events. I was able to greet him briefly at the Freedom Banquet, I should say, 2 weeks ago in Fairlawn, the Ohio Christian Alliance. And Pastor Jeff has become a fixture in the faith community. He's here with us now on AM 1420, The Answer, to talk about the Daniel series. Pastor Jeff, good to talk to you again. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Bob. Good to talk to you again.
So having you in the studio is always great. I know everybody loves your visits, so it's certainly nice to know that you are there in the studio. And you're going to be there with us on Saturday night. Before we talk about the Daniel series, let's talk about the Dennis speech. I know you're a big fan as well, and you're looking forward to the events on Saturday.
Yeah, it's good to be included to bring the Christian thought, you know, the biblical thinking to these events. I agree that our country is in need, and the gospel and Jesus Christ are always the answer, Bob.
Yeah, and you know, it's so, what you know what I love? I love that devoted Christians like you and me, I'm certainly not a pastor, but that Christians and Jews like Dennis, and Dennis has said, it's, and I'm trying to remember exactly how he's phrased it, he has said so many times on his program, that he has personally been responsible for bringing more people to Jesus than most Christians ever could be, even though he himself is Jewish and he teaches and he preaches and he writes books about the Bible. And understanding the Torah, he brings people to God, whether they be Christian or Jew. I love that marriage of two, you know, different faiths. Technically two different faiths, but all rooted in the same belief and all rooted in the same God and all rooted in the same Bible.
Well, that is true. We have to, I mean, it sounds obvious, but I think we probably should remind people that Jesus was Jewish and that he taught from the Jewish books. There was no such thing as a New Testament when he was teaching in his earthly ministry. It was all Old Testament. So that's been kind of my niche, and over the past 20 years of preaching was to do exactly that, to connect the Old Testament with the New and the New to the Old. And it's just a very rich teaching and understanding of where we are and where the Word of God leads us.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that fact, and I love that Christians love listening to people like Dennis Prager just as much as Jews do, and he listens and is able to have tremendous discussion and educational sessions with Christians as well. So it's just it's a great unity, and that's what we're going to have on Saturday. So, Pastor Jeff, you've been doing this 20 years. You've been a pastor. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, just a little over 20 years. We planted Liberty Valley with just a few people back in 2000. I think it was in 2005 or so. But before that, I did some youth work. So yeah, we've been at it a little over 20 years, Bob. It's been a long time.
What brought you to your calling to be a pastor and to start that church?
Well, that's a long story. So I was I wasn't raised in a Christian home at all. So, but I came to the Lord, and when I did, I just wanted a full helping. So I read through the Bible all the way through in a month, and I was just shocked. I'm a typical American kid. Grew up in the suburbs of Cleveland, and never heard anything like it. And so when I was introduced, I said, whoa, wait a minute here. And I got a Bible and just plowed through it. I couldn't put it down. So literally the whole thing in a month. And that's through that first reading is where the Lord had called me into the ministry.
Wow. What do you tell people who say, I've tried to do that? I can't do it. I can't follow it. Some of the language is hard to follow. Some of the, the names and the lineage, and particularly in the Old Testament. Because I've had conversations like this with people who are true believers and people who are, Christians or whether they're Jews. But when it comes to biblical study and becoming, biblical scholars, they say, I'll read the passages I understand. I'll go to the New Testament, and there are certainly things that are a lot more clear and direct, and I can understand those, but there are so many parts and portions of the Bible where it is just so hard to follow, my eyes glaze over, and I can't do it. Is there advice to getting through the Bible in a way that you did?
Yes, well, it is difficult at portions. Paul calls some of the teachings meat and some of it milk or pablum. And it can be difficult, but that's why the Lord has ordained pastors, teachers, and elders to help to teach, to bring you along. So some of it is difficult. Some of it you just have to be disciplined, right? So that's why Jesus' followers were called disciples, because it does take some discipline if you want to really understand some of the deeper teachings. But then that's, again, why he ordained pastors and teachers to help bring those along. That's very helpful. For me, I received the calling early, and so I honestly, Bob, I think he was just gracious to me and allowed me to have understanding a little early. Now, having said that, my first year of Bible college, I got all Fs, and that can be a little discouraging, but I had a call that I was willing to pursue and answer, and so I just went back and did some studies in between, and then started over again, and here we are 20 years later.
It's a never-ending effort, isn't it? I mean, I feel like to truly be a biblical scholar, to be able to quote chapter and verse, as they say, it's not something you learn and then just, okay, I've got that banked, I'm good. You kind of have to almost always study, don't you?
You do, and that's connected with the greatest commandment, right? So the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the passion for that is loving him and pursuing him. And when you love him more, you spend more time with him, and you're naturally more inclined to understand, because I have this affection for him. And I want to get to know you better. It's just like a human relationship. You just have that desire to know that other person on a greater level.
We are talking this morning with Pastor Jeff Toring, the pastor of Liberty Valley Church in Northfield. We're going to talk about the Daniel series, a book that I'm holding in my hand right now. But I just want, I've said this to you before when I've talked to you on the radio, Pastor Jeff. You have such a commanding presence when you speak, particularly with the, you know, the promotions and the commercials that, that run during this show and on the station. And I hear you. When your voice comes on, I stop what I'm doing and I listen. It's your pace. It's your tone. It's the seriousness with which you deliver your message. And then, of course, you know, reminding everybody that you are one of his footmen. Where does that come from? Do you practice the way that you preach? And I don't mean practice what you preach. That's something everybody should do.
Right.
But practice the way that you preach. Because, you know, for those who haven't heard your sermons as well, they're on your webpage. I'm looking at the page right now, libertyvalleychurch.org. People can go back and listen to your actual sermons. And so I'm just kind of curious, you know, you are called to do this. I firmly believe that because you have an ability to reach people through the way you present that I think is very, very unique.
Well, I think there's a difference that you may be referring to, and that's... That does stem from the Bible. And so when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he began it with John the Baptist as his forerunner. And he was abrasive. I mean, the guy was coined as a wild man in the desert. You know, he ate locusts and honey, and he had a large girdle and a big, you know, he had his clothing was camel hair. And he was a prophet. He was a man's man. And Jesus said, hey, concerning him, what did you guys expect? What did you go out to see? Somebody in soft raiment? And what he meant by that is the true men of God are brawny. Jesus was brawny, and he's unfortunately now mischaracterized as this always lowly and meek, and he was, but he was also brawny. He was the good shepherd, and shepherds, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Most people don't realize that comfort is stemming from his weaponry. So his weaponry of the good shepherd was his staff, and that was to fend off wolves. So the comfort comes from the masculinity, the manhood of Jesus as a shepherd. And that has been lost, unfortunately, through a lot of different churches, through the clergy, because they are literally men of soft raiment. They have never probably, I mean, to labor or to do something physical is just not part of their norm. So I'm a blue collar kid. I've turned wrenches in a backyard. So I bust my knuckles with snow and water and slime dripping in my face on a creeper under a car. That's how I was raised. That's how my father was raised. That's how my grandfather was. And so the Lord has just decided to put a blue-collar worker in the ministry.
A blue-collar worker with a voice and a mind and a heart that just is meant for this. I love the way you just said and reminded us about Christ and that part of him and how his ministry started. Because, you know, all we think about is kind, gentle soul, soft Jesus. You know, stroking the lamb and you know, comforting kids and so forth. Which of course he is and he was, but he had to get attention and he had to do exactly what you just said, and that is protect, you know, the sheep from the wolves and use the staff and use, you know, sometimes fire and brimstone, if you will, to get attention. And nobody talks about that part of Jesus. Nobody talks about that willingness to be, or his willingness to do whatever it took to reach people. And you obviously have to channel that when you are, you know, preaching his word in your sermons.
Right. So a big reminder is for everyone to realize that the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. And Jesus is that God of the New Testament and of the Old. And we learn of who he is not only through the new with meek and lowly. We have to remember he came to redeem. His earthly ministry, as far as in the New Testament, was to redeem sinners and to show his compassion towards his people, towards his flock. But there's also enemies. We are at war, and we recognize that, I think, more and more as the day dawns, that we are at war. And so when we see Jesus in the Old Testament, he is known as the Lord of hosts. He was that same God. Jesus Christ was the same God who did literally rain down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, there are a lot of illustrations when you really want to become acquainted with this God that we have to do. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And this is the God that we worship and adore, but he is also a dangerous God in his fullness. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's why I wrote the book in the Daniel series, is because we are heading towards the end times, I believe. And there's just a famine in the land of the truth of who God is and where we are going.
Well, this is we're talking to Pastor Jeff Toring from Liberty Valley Church in Northfield. This is remarkable timing, because I've had multiple conversations with multiple people about end times of late, and people are talking to me about what they see coming. I don't know what the end times are supposed to look like. I don't know if we can understand what the end times, how long, quote unquote, end times are. Is it a period of hours? Is it a period of weeks? Is it a period of months? Is it a period of millennia? Because, you know, a century is a blink of an eye to God, who is eternal and forever. So when you talk about end times, what does that mean to us? Are we in them now? Have we been in them maybe for the last 500 years, the last 2,000 years? I literally have no idea how to comprehend that, given the scope of time, you know, from God's vantage point through our own.
Now, that is a perfect question, Bob, and you're not alone. And again, that is why we went through the work and the labor of putting together the Daniel series. So your question is about the last days or the end times, and you have to realize that, and you'll learn this in the book, that there is a difference between end times and the last days. So, some of the stuff is difficult to understand. So Daniel is a book that is a prophetical book. It is somewhat difficult, but if you look through it and you spend time there, he gives us clear understanding. So Daniel is the prophet for the Gentiles. Most people don't realize most of the prophets of the Old Testament are specifically geared toward the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Daniel's unique because his focal point is the times of the Gentiles, the full history, all the way of Gentile rule until the end of time. And so he designates and specifies. So the last days started with the cross, with Jesus Christ, right? So that's been 2,000 years. And so people have this attitude, well, it's always been the last days all the way since Jesus Christ. And that's true. The difference that we learn from Daniel is the difference between the last days and the end times. So for instance, Daniel says in his book, in the end times, knowledge will increase. Now that is interesting, because if you look at the way that knowledge has been, so it wasn't until around the 1700s that light was invented, the light bulb or electricity, which means that for around 5,700 years of history, the only light that we had was by way of fire, torch. And all of a sudden, after all these years, you get into the 1700s and we invent, quote, quote, the light bulb or electricity. How can that be? How do you explain that? The same thing with travel. So, you know, it wasn't until the 1900s that we come up with travel by way of a vehicle, a car. So now we have planes, trains, automobiles, right, that we travel. But for 5,900 years, the only travel that we had was the animal. And so you see exactly what Daniel is saying, that in the end times, knowledge will increase. And it wasn't that men were just not bright for 5,900 years, or they just weren't educated. No, this is God's plan, and it's written for us in the book of Daniel. But most people, like you just said, How do you know? What is the end times? How do you know if we've been in the end times? You know, thousands of years have passed and all this. No, there's it's specific. Knowledge will increase. And so now, I mean, think of in our own life. I joke with my kids. I said, you know, when I was a kid, the phone had a cord. What? Your phone had a cord? And I said, yeah, we used to, in my lifetime, had a rotary phone. And now, think of the speed of the knowledge increasing just in our lifetime, Bob. We went from a rotary phone to internet to now AI. That is how you can make the book of Daniel in the Daniel series realize what is happening in our lifetime. It's staggering, but most people they don't spend the time or the labor or the discipline in trying to plow your way through these old prophets, these old quote or archaic books that don't really mean a lot, but in fact they mean everything. And so if we just apply that and look to what's happening with just current events like transgender, what is going on here? I mean, it's like the wheels are coming off of humanity. What is going on? Well, let me tell you. It's all here in the books of the Bible. You may need a guide. And so when I look at the Daniel series and we put that out, I have to say, I don't want any credit. I plagiarized. The book of Daniel, I didn't write. God wrote it. That is God's writings. I'm just a guide through that book. So
I was just going to say, right. you didn't write the book of Daniel, but your commentary, your guidance, your analysis of these things and your explainers that you have here, this is very much your work, and it is very much needed, because I've been working my way through this too, and I'm trying to, you know, the portions of the actual book, the Bible that I read, you know, don't make a lot of sense to me upon first viewing. Then I read what you have written after each passage, and then I go back and look at it again. I see, now suddenly it makes sense. So I do notice, as I'm holding the book right now, and like I said, I've been working my way through it, and you don't have your name on it. I mean, you literally, it's you know, the Daniel series, and you do sign the preface page and put your name there, but you literally aren't. It's not on the cover. It's not on the binding. It's not anywhere. You have literally just said this is not for credit. This is for I don't know, for salvation, I suppose, for those who are looking for it.
Right. I used to sign some of my letters years ago, one of his footmen. I'm just one of his footmen. You know, among the thousands that have come, among the thousands that are now, and I'm just one of them. And I don't need any credit, because if it wasn't for him and his grace, I'd be face down in a puddle and probably dead years ago. So now I'm just doing what he instructs me to do. I'm very zealous about it. I love our country. I see where it's going, and it hurts. It hurts to see the things that are happening. And so this is the Daniel series, is what we know as a commentary. Now, if you're not in the church world and you're not in churchianity, you don't even know what a commentary is. And so I'm trying to make it, I'm trying to break it out of the churchianity circles, or the, you know, us for no more shut the door church folk, because this needs to be known. I mean, this needs to be blazed abroad, because we're living in this. You know, we have families that are just crushed over certain things of homosexuality or transgender or a whole host of sins, and they don't know, well, what is happening? What is going on? Well, and if you look at the commentary that I just point you to and help you through with the book of Daniel, it does explain things.
It does.
A lot of things.
It's so valuable. If people, like I said to you at the very beginning, about people who have expressed a difficulty in understanding the Bible, they may have a desire, but if they can't understand it, they are dissuaded from continuing. And if there was a, you know, an opportunity to kind of see it explained in more easy to comprehend and digest terms, the way you have done here with the Daniel series, it might make more and more people be interested in continuing to read. So the Daniel series, I'm holding it right now. How can other people do the same thing, Pastor Jeff? I can't believe it's 11:31. We're already so past our time here because I'm fascinated by what you're saying. So in closing, how can people get the book?
You can, first of all, the book is free. This is a rare thing within churchianity. Normally they try to sell their wares. The Lord has provided, so the book is free. We never charge for anything that the Lord does. We are his servants. And so you can go to libertyvalleychurch.org and get it there. You can just send an email off if you hit the contact us link and put your address down. We'll mail you off a copy for free. We also have another website that is oneofhisfootmen.org. And that kind of gives you some more information. And again, that leads to the same place, and we can give it to you for free.
Wonderful. Pastor Jeff Toring, pastor at Liberty Valley Church in Northfield. Go to the webpage, as you just heard, either one of them, oneofhisfootmen.org or libertyvalleychurch.org. And make sure that you get this. It is a phenomenal way to try to educate yourself and understand this in ways that maybe non-biblical scholars have a hard time doing. And Pastor Jeff,